Hey guys, this is David Ramsey. I play the role of John Diggle on Arrow. You are listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Hello, fans of those who wear capes, masks, and their underwear on the outside. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. Welcome back to the Comic Book Central Lair. Yet another amazing guest set to take center stage in the lair today from the smash CW hit Arrow, the versatile actor who brings John Diggle to life each and every week, David Ramsey. That conversation is coming up in just a few minutes. Now, you might remember from last week's show, I mentioned that I was working on an upcoming Star Trek-themed episode. It's one that had been in the works for a little while. There was a possibility of a special tribute to the great Leonard Nimoy as well. If you follow Comic Book Central on Twitter, or if you like the Facebook page, that's at Comic Book CTRL on Twitter. Facebook is Comic Book Central Network. If you're on there, you already know what the surprise is. If you don't, well, be sure to check out Comic Book Central on social media. You're missing a lot if you don't. If you don't know that special guest for next week, I am going to reveal that at the end of today's show. So be sure to stick around for that announcement. And the special guest just never stop showing up here at the Lair. Of course, today's show is no exception. It's no secret that the TV series Arrow is a big favorite here at the Lair. Now, that's an understatement. My wife and I are hooked into each and every moment involving Team Arrow. Now, fair warning, true believers, there'll be spoilers ahead. As I recorded this conversation with David Ramsey, episode 14 of season 3, titled The Return, had just aired. So, if your DVR has a few Arrow episodes backed up in the cache, you need to watch them. Well, I'm just letting you know. Some things that we discussed today are going to spoil a few surprises on some of these episodes. So, with that warning, I say to you, check this out. I'll be right back with my special guest, David Ramsey. Born in Motor City, Motown, Detroit, Michigan, David Ramsey is just as comfortable in a kickboxing ring as he is on a Hollywood soundstage. He's using both sets of talents in the CW superhero hit Arrow. You've seen him just about everything since his acting career began. From early roles in such feature films as The Nutty Professor and Con Air, to his breakthrough role as Muhammad Ali in the 2000 Fox biopic, all the way up through TV appearance after TV appearance after TV appearance, NCIS, CSI Miami, The West Wing, Ghost Whisperer, Dexter, and Blue Blood, starring fellow Detroit native Tom Selleck. Come on, you knew that's why Magnum wears a Tigers baseball cap, right? Well, it was on Blue Bloods that producers of Arrow, the CW origin series of DC Comics' Green Arrow, first noticed David. They were developing an original character for the series. It wasn't in the comic books. It's ex-soldier and bodyguard for Oliver Queen, John Diggle. Now, by the fourth episode of season one, Diggle finds out the truth about Oliver. He realizes that a superhero doesn't really need a bodyguard, and he eventually becomes an integral part of Team Arrow. For three hit seasons, David Ramsey's John Diggle has been fighting crime and keeping the citizens of Starling City safe. Oh, and the character's become so popular, DC's actually written him into the comic book universe as well. Well, my guest today, he has thrown his share of punches on screen, that's for sure, from his incredible performance as Muhammad Ali, all the way up to his current gig in the crazy cool world of superheroes and metahumans on the CW smash hit Arrow, where he plays John Diggle. Hey kids, it's David Ramsey. David, thank you so much for taking some time out of the Arrow Cave to join me in the Comic Book Central Lair.
Comic Book Central Lair, the Foundry, Comic Book Foundry, I don't know. I like it all. I love your audience, and it's fantastic. I'm glad to be here.
Are we allowed to call it the Arrow Cave? I know Oliver Queen has some problems with that at times.
Hey, watch it. Don't get carried away there, buddy. Don't get carried away. I like the Arrow Cave, actually. The Arrow Cave isn't bad. But I know Oliver Queen doesn't like it too much, but I don't mind.
All right, well, here's the thing. Recent episodes of Arrow, I'm all caught up. We're recording this after the show has aired recently. They all seem to be about the members of Team Arrow kind of coming clean and telling the truth, and everything's out there. So how refreshing is that as an actor to have everyone finally in the know on all these secrets?
Well, it just makes room for more secrets, doesn't it? but it's good. It's good. It's just another layer being peeled back of the characters, which is always great as an actor because we love sinking your teeth into that. Because revealing secrets ultimately means, you know, delving deeply into the character's box of emotional tricks. So that's always good to sink your teeth in that as an actor. But the writing has been such an arrow that it's always one more turn, right? We're always saying, revealing one thing just to build it for another. So all might be calm right now on the Western front, but it won't be calm for long.
We're moving toward the season finale here too. Okay, so now you're accustomed to coming clean on Arrow. The secrets are coming out, more secrets are being revealed. So I have to ask, are you going to be the Green Lantern?
I know, right? Everyone asking about this.
You're coming clean. This is the best time to do it, right?
I'm coming clean. I'm coming clean. And this has all been a very... I did another interview just recently. And let's just start from the beginning with this. The second half of season one of Arrow, everyone just kind of dialed into John Diggle. And he became part of the comic book canon, Green Arrow, and he's, to my great honor, he's now part of the lore, and he's in the official comic book. And from there, they saw the similarities, obviously, between him and John Stewart, a.k.a. Green Lantern. And obviously, since everyone else was becoming ultimately a superhero, they thought this seemed to be the natural progression for John Stewart, for John Diggle. And this wasn't lost on the producers, by the way. The producers heard it, and they weren't really coming with a straight answer to the press, nor to me. So an interview took place a couple of weeks ago where I told, after being pressed for a year and a half now, what's happening and saying, I don't know. There was actually a comment on social media from Steven when asked by someone how he felt about Tyrese lobbying for the feature role of John Stewart. Could he play a good Green Lantern? And Steven's response was, better than David Ramsey? No. So between that and the year and a half now of just speculation as to whether or not I'll be playing him, there was really a bit of a frenzy saying, okay, David, you got to give us something. And I gave the interviewer something, which was, they're talking about it, I don't know. Well, since that interview, Martin Guggenheim, who was one of our producer writers, has spoken with Jeff Johns, and they've spoken about this before, by the way. But now they finally got a straight answer, and that is that as of now, John Diggle will not be putting on the power ring. I will not be becoming John Stewart as of now. And there are other things they want to concentrate on, i.e. Argus and Hive, and my role with both of these organizations. So and a straight answer to your question would be, for now, no power ring in John Diggle's future.
Okay, that's fair. That's all we can ask for. That's a very straight answer. That's very refreshing, too, from an actor who's on a current hit series, too. Yeah, thank goodness this is the Marvel universe. They probably would have wrestled you to the ground by now.
Probably so.
All right. Well, okay. So, as John Diggle, then, and as the actor David Ramsey, you've trained yourself in boxing, kickboxing, martial arts. So, yeah. When you take on a role like Muhammad Ali, how is that different in that type of fighting as opposed to the type of fighting that you do as John Diggle? Just from an acting standpoint, how you approach each one.
Sure, John. The role of Muhammad Ali was an old movie of the week. It actually was aired back on Fox years and years ago. Oddly enough, this was a big Ali frenzy at the time. Terrence Howard, who you might know from other work, he did the Marvel piece Iron Man, the first one. He did a movie of the week Ali for ABC. I did one for Fox, and obviously Will Smith did the feature with Michael Mann. So there are three Alis going on at one time, and I trained like a madman for it. The difference between the training for Ali and the training here is just, really, it's a lot of the same, except for when you're actually sparring, which is when I'm training for John Diggle, I'm doing what I've been doing for 20 years, which is major kickboxing. And you just can't do that when you're training as a boxer because you don't use your legs the same way. You aren't throwing kicks. So outside of that, you're still running miles, you're still lifting weights, you're still doing wind sprints, you're still doing calisthenics, you're still doing the same stuff. It's just that when you're actually sparring, now you can't throw kicks. So it's much the same in terms of the conditioning. But when you get on the heavy bag, and when you start isolating things and working with other trainers and working with the trainer and throwing kicks and doing focus mitt work, doing drills, you just can't use your feet. So that would be the only real difference. And when you're training for a role like Ali, you have to kind of make it look like Ali. So you're watching a lot of tape, you're watching a lot of footage, and you're emulating the stuff that he did in the ring. So biopics are a little different than someone like John Diggle. John Diggle's martial arts training is a lot like David Ramsey's, thank God.
Okay. Did you get to meet Ali?
No, I didn't get to meet Ali back in the time. Unfortunately, I would have loved to, but I'd be honest with you, Will got all this, and it's funny too. I got a funny story about Will. When I was training for Ali, I had a wonderful trainer named Benny the Jet. Benny the Jet's a world class kickboxer. Those who are in the kickboxing world know exactly who he is. He's a legend, and I met Will again. During our, both of us are training for the role of Ali, and he asked me who my trainer was, and I said, oh, great kickboxer named Benny the Jet. You may not know him, may know him, I don't know. I said, who's your trainer, Will? And he said, well, Angelo, the great Angelo Dundee. So just to give you an idea of the budgets that they're dealing with.
Will had a little more access.
Just a little bit more access, I would say. But I still had great training with, and I still do have great training. The people working on Arrow are nothing short of world-class fighters and stuntmen. And so it's just a pleasure to be able to do something that I've been doing so long and utilize those same talents on television.
Well, speaking of Arrow and boxing, J.R. Ramirez, he plays Wildcat on the show. His character's a boxer. Did you get to, did you kind of watch his skills and, do this, do that. Maybe you want to do this.
Yeah. Well, what's funny was that, I did watch a lot of what he was doing, and I enjoy it, but I didn't really give any pointers. The people on the Arrow stunt team, the fight choreographers, are very, very, very proficient and very well trained. James Bamford, who was our fight choreographer, is just an incredible martial artist. And they didn't need little old David giving any pointers. But I do like the way they kind of take on the different characters. When we call our characters arrow-ized, they get arrow-ized by the time they come through the filter of Arrow. So the Wildcat came through the filter of Arrow and ended up being this world-class boxer. So it's just interesting our takes on these DC comic book characters. I'm always curious to see what they will be morphed into when they enter our universe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to see all these with Adam and everything. Yeah, it's just fun to watch you guys bringing these things to life.
Exactly.
It's just amazing. So, all right, well, let's dig into Diggle himself. Arrow, we're currently in season 3 here. Team Arrow. We've got Green Arrow, Mask, Red Arrow, Mask, Black Canary, Mask, John Diggle, no Mask.
Yeah.
What's up
with that? This is a very interesting topic as well.
What's up with that?
And to get back to your first, I know, what is up with that? to get back to your question about Green Lantern, this that was also one of the things that spawned on this big to-do about Green Lantern. Was,
give him a mask.
Exactly. Give him a mask. What are you going to do with this guy? You got Red Arrow coming around the corner with his hood and red leather. You have, obviously, Green Arrow coming around the corner with his leather and green. And you have Black Canary coming with the canary screen device and her black leather. And you have John Diggle coming around the corner with a Glock and a bomber jacket. So, it doesn't exactly make for good television, okay? You're already straining credibility with fighting against tanks and submachine guns with bow and arrows, but my goodness, having John Diggle with a Glock and a bomber jacket, give me a break. So, listen, this has not gone lost on the producers or myself. We've heard the fans.
All right.
What's happening, and we don't know exactly, a straight answer to you, we don't know exactly how we're going to address that fully. But Diggle is going to marry, this is no small secret, a woman, Lila, who was very high up in Argus and ultimately may even become the leader of Argus, quite possibly.
Possibly Harbinger?
Possibly. Okay. I can't speak for the producers, but we know that she is part of Argus and that she may even become even higher up.
Okay.
My point is that Diggle might even become more involved in Argus.
Ah.
We know he's part of the Suicide Squad.
Yep.
So how we're going to utilize a uniform or some type of concealment, some type of camouflage in the field may be part and parcel of a logical evolution from that from those relationships. I.e., maybe there's some type of field camouflage that he utilizes from an Argus, from an Argus think tank, or whatever. I'm throwing out things, but that's a logical progression that we kind of talked about. All these things are just talked about right now, and I'll tell you why it's difficult. It's difficult because Diggle isn't like these other characters, okay? And I think that's part of his appeal. Part of his appeal is that he's a regular guy. He's a guy that grew up in the Glades. He joined the military. He joined Special Forces. He served in Afghanistan 4 tours. He's a regular dude. His crucible, which was Afghanistan, he is very well adjusted to. He dealt with it. All these other characters are really still dealing with their crucible, i.e. the island for Arrow, the street things that Roy went through, the killing of the cop when he was under the Mirror Crew.
The loss of family members, alcoholism.
The loss of family members, the alcoholism, the death of her sister, Laurel.
Yeah.
All these are their crucibles that they just haven't gotten adjusted to yet. Diggle is really the most adjusted. I mean, and even Felicity, she's, 2% of the smartest people probably in the world?
Yeah.
So, you know, all these people are super exceptional.
Yeah.
And then you have John Diggle, who really is a regular guy. And part of the problem is if you cover that up with a mask, you just don't want to cover up some of that appeal. Now that might sound like a stretch, but that really is a major, major concern. So one of the things we've talked about is how there could be some type of natural evolution of a camouflage of some sort that comes out of the relationship with Argus, or the Suicide Squad of something like that. But it is in the works, and there is something coming. I can tell you that.
I personally just prefer to think of him as just so awesome and cool that he doesn't really care if anybody knows who it's him. He just walks down the street. It's like Clint Eastwood, you know. He just walks down the street. And he'll take you out.
That's what I've been going with. That's what I've been going with. But now he has a wife coming, and you know, he just asked Lila to marry him. He has a child at home, so that won't float for too long.
All right. Well, as you mentioned about the child too, does being I want to say fairly recent father, your son is 4 years old?
My son is 4, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how does that play into sort of being a new father in the show, or does it? Can you channel anything into that?
Well, yeah, sure it does. Sure it does. I think that just in a practical way as an actor, I'm really, really good with baby Sarah on the show. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times you have twins on the show because one child will inevitably have a screaming fit. And so you have to bring the other child on because her belly may be full and she can be quiet during the scenes. So that's one of the reasons why you have a twin. And just children, they change and blah, blah. So, but every time our baby Sarah actress is on the set, I pick her up, I put her on my shoulder, I rock her a little bit. So I guess I'm saying I'm a pretty good dad. I'm really good with kids. Can I pat myself on the back a little bit?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, there you go.
Okay. Now, what are the acting challenges of playing a character that there's an end game, obviously. There's flashbacks, you're moving forward, but what are the acting challenges to playing a character where you don't really know everything about him, where these things are sort of revealed gradually season by season?
Well, I think that's a problem in episodic television in general, right? Not really a problem, but that's a challenge on episodic television. That you're dealing with, you know, a 5-year, 6-year Supernatural, Smallville, 10-year evolution of a character, you know, and, I mean, we can only hope to be as lucky as Smallville has been with that type of longevity. But, so there's always a challenge with that. And you're going to face that. But we've been lucky. Greg Berlanti, Andrew Kreisberg, Mark Guggenheim, Jeff Johns over at NBC, at DC, we have great producers and writers on this show. And they're geeks. They're fans of the genre. And so they have a very keen eye on how to integrate these different storylines. So we trust them. We have a lot of faith in them. Obviously, we're boots on the ground, the actors. So a lot of times up here in Vancouver, we might see something that's inconsistent, but there's always an open door. We can say, hey, listen, this didn't happen in the comic book. That did happen. How are you integrating that? And there's always an open door policy with the writers and producers. So, yeah, there is a challenge with not knowing all the story as an actor. But they reveal it. We see how it connects to a lot of things that happened in the past. And listen, even on a practical note, there are some things that might seem inconsistent with our character, right? We're like, oh, that doesn't seem like a diddle thing. And we make a call, we work it out in the language, and we come to a solution. So it's even though we have very good writers and producers, it is a very collaborative effort. We make a lot of phone calls and talk a lot with the writers.
What turn of event? I mean, Arrow's known for these shocking scenes and turn of events, and this happens and revelations. What turn of event has shocked you the most when you saw it read in the script, or when you shot it, or you realized, oh my goodness, or you saw somebody else's scene for the first time when it aired?
That's a good question. A few things that kind of shocked me. I didn't see Canary dying. I didn't see that. Katie Lowes was so incredible. I just think she was great as a Canary. And Katie Cassidy's fantastic as Black Canary. I didn't see that coming. And obviously using that as Laurel Lance's crucible, obviously the death of her sister, is, I think, fantastic storytelling. I just didn't see that being the catalyst for Laurel becoming Black Canary. I didn't quite see that coming. That's one. No one saw Felicity and Oliver coming. nobody saw that. I mean, Emily, to her great credit, was hired as a guest star on the show. And no one saw that character morphing the way it did. And I've said publicly before, thank God she did, because, you know, for the first several episodes, even half the season, it was just me and Steven kind of brooding around Starling City fighting crime. And then you had, thank God, this comic relief in Emily Bett.
Breath of fresh air.
Coming in really, a breath of fresh air. But even with that, and she could have very well have stayed in that place where there was some comic relief, and you kind of give her some one-liners, and it really would stay that breath of fresh air, like you said. But to see the chemistry that she had with Steven and that kind of morph into a romance between Felicity and Oliver, I don't think anyone called that. I think the fans probably hoped for it, but to see it really happen and become something on screen, no one really knew that was coming. So those two things, I think, were the big things for me.
Yeah, I can't disagree with either of those. I mean, I didn't see either of those coming as well. Do you want Felicity and Oliver to get together, or Ray Palmer? Yeah, which one? What would you go with?
You know, something. I think Emily is such a, you know, she's one of these actresses that have. It's almost she has chemistry with everyone that she works with. You know, I mean, she has chemistry with Steven. She has chemistry with Oliver. She has chemistry with Ray Palmer. She has chemistry with Barry Allen. You know, so it's, you know, she is one of those characters that Emily brings this thing to Felicity that she can float around with any of these guys and you believe it. I can't say I don't like her with Ray Palmer, because they really are kind of good together. I think Diggle obviously sees Oliver and Felicity together. Mm-hmm. I think. And to be honest with you, David Ramsey had some questions with that. As I began, I saw it written in the script, I was like, well, would Diggle really be that way? Because wouldn't he see her as more of a liability? And I going back to my other statement about us having an open door with the writers, the writers kind of, because that was my concern with this, like, would he fall in love with Felicity? Because Felicity, at the end of the day, working this closely, would she, and because Diggle is an army guy, right? He's a military guy. Would she be a liability ultimately? And, you know, I talked to Mark for a while about that. He said, I think Diggle's position is that he's always kind of wanted Oliver to embrace his humanity. And he took me back to that first speech when I joined the Crusade, and I said that, whether you know it or not, killing people scrapes a little bit off your soul each time you do it, and that you're going to need me to help you with that, to regain your humanity, to keep a hold of your humanity. And he sees part of what he's doing with Felicity in embracing a woman that he truly does love as keeping that humanity intact and being closer to himself as a full round, being closer to a full rounded person. That's Diddle's position. That's part of what he helps Oliver become, is a more fleshed out human being. And I think Diggle probably does want the two of them together more than anybody else. I had some problems seeing that at first, but I think that ultimately she's a better match. And now that I'm looking at the way what Ray Palmer's issues are, I think that he's really the same person as Oliver Queen. You know what I mean? She's really attracted to the same guys. He still hasn't. What's pushing him is the grief that he has for the death of his wife, and that. So he hasn't dealt with his anger and his loss the same way Oliver hasn't dealt with all the things he's suffered with through the island. So they really are kind of mirroring each other in a way. But I think that Oliver has the team, and Ray hasn't yet found his team. And in that team, there's a safety net, whether Oliver realizes it or not. And ultimately, I think that's the thing that Oliver has. He has a family. And I think John Diggle recognizes that probably more than anybody else. So I think he sees Oliver and Felicity together ultimately.
You just watch. You'll probably end up with somebody like Bruce Wayne or something when it's all said and done.
Wouldn't that be something? You know, by the way, I said that publicly. I would love to see Bruce Wayne on the show.
I wanted to ask you about that.
But I would love to see Bruce Wayne.
What are the chances of that happening? Have you talked with the producers about it? I mean, there's obviously legal in the whole movie thing and Affleck and, you know, but like, what are the odds of that happening?
I don't know. You know, it's funny. This is the third season, and it does so much of season three. The producers of Andrew Kreisberg has gone on record and said there's two cities you won't hear about on our show, and he didn't say the city's names, but we can assume they're Gotham and Metropolis. I don't know. You know, you say that in season three, what happens in season 8 or 9 or even 6 or 7? Who knows?
Right.
And we can, like I said, we can only be so lucky to go half as long as Smallville went, right? So it's who knows? Who knows? I mean, I don't know the odds, but I know that I'm not the only fan that would love to see the two billionaires go at it. I would love to see just them, those two fight without the costume, just having out like two guys, right? Like, who would win? Oliver Queen, Bruce Wayne. I would love to see that.
That would be great. Well, and it's kind of nice to hear that you've got the producer's ear, the writer's ear, that you're kind of going into this. Any plans on directing any episodes? We know that's what happens with a lot of actors. Sometimes I'll write one of the episodes, they'll direct some of them. Any thoughts on that?
You know, I've always been interested in directing. I can only be so lucky that they would answer that call, that I would, you know, to direct. I haven't investigated it yet, but like I said before, it's only season 3. Anything can happen.
Okay. Tougher training regimen, you or Stephen Amell?
Well, it just depends. I think, you know, we both go in and out. I kind of joked before that you might see some episodes, 4 or 5 or, you know, episodes in a row where no one takes off their shirt, you know, and that's kind of by design, because it's like, you know, something, I haven't been training as hard.
It wasn't the midseason finale. Steven, that's for sure.
I know. It wasn't that one. That's for sure. Steven hits it pretty hard, you know, but Steven's training is probably a little, you know, there's a lot of parkour in his training. There's a lot of calisthenics in his training. I'm really kind of a martial arts traditional guy, you know, 3 sets of 12, you know, hitting the chest, the tries, the abs, one day, the back, the back and the thighs, the other day, the next day, legs, shoulders. So it's really, really, really traditional for me. And a little bit of CrossFit might be thrown in there, a lot of martial arts. But for Steven, there's a whole lot of parkour and a whole lot of calisthenic work. And I just think that's kind of the part and parcel of the regimen that he keeps up for, you know.
You could take him though, right?
in a heartbeat.
There we go.
Did I say it out loud?
There you go. Give us a teaser for the balance of season three here. We're coming up on the final few episodes as we're going to be airing this. Can you give us a little teaser what we can expect?
It's all about the Ra's al Ghul and the League of Assassins. Let me put it like this. Ra's al Ghul's will... Oliver's surviving will not go unheard in Nana Parbat. And Ra's al Ghul isn't done yet with Oliver or Starling City. So there's going to be a price to pay for his survival. And, you know, this series, as you know, isn't afraid of killing people.
No, it's not. No. I mourn that every week we're watching these people dying.
So, you know. Yeah. You know, so it's just one of those shows. Listen, I remember working on Dexter some years ago, and I would always go to the back, to the end of the page, to the end of the scene, just to see if I'm dead or not. That sentiment is not lost on Arrow. I'm still doing the exact
You read all your thing. Scripts from the back, so, right?
Oh, my God. You kidding me? Just read them from the back, man. Old Diggles on page 64 of 66 pages. Thank God. You know, so,
I can still pay the mortgage.
You know, if I just still pay the mortgage thing. I have a 4-year-old child, for God's sake.
Don't take daddy's paycheck away.
Exactly.
Very cool. So,
there's a big Ra's al Ghul in League of Assassins. A lot to watch.
And, of course, Return, just real quick, how fun was it to shoot the Return? That was the most recent episode. Everybody came back. All flashbacks.
Everybody came.
How fun was that? Was that like a, you know, old homecoming week?
It was homecoming week. It was funny too because me, Colton, and Emily all kind of bonded, and Katie as well, Katie Cassidy. We all kind of bonded in a not just on an actor, just on characters on screen, but actor in an actor way, in a personal way, because we were working so closely together without Steven, right? Because Steven was dead for a few episodes.
Yeah.
So when he came back, we really did miss him, genuinely, and we were just happy to have him back because it really was a big void without him.
And Eugene Bird came back as your brother, Andy Diggle, too. So that it was fun
Eugene
watching that.
Eugene Bird as Andy Diggle. That's going to be something, too, because we're going to really get into Hive. Hive's going to be a big heavy very, very soon. Okay. And the organization that hired Deadshot to kill Andy. So we're going to get in, you know, we're going to break down Hive. Now, Hive, for the comic book fans, it stands for something completely, totally on the nose, like, you know, holy villainous something or another. It's just something crazy. But I think it's going to have a different acronym for our purposes in Arrow. But we're going to really get into the Hive story very soon.
They do that on S.H.I.E.L.D. all the
time.
And
the Suicide Squad. Deadshot and the Suicide Squad is returning as well this season. So
you teased the picture. That's right. You teased the picture.
That's right. We sure do.
I think you... Do you say there are three true heroes other than Oliver Queen that will protect the city? I think that was what you were quoted in a recent interview.
That's right. There are indeed. Oliver, by the time the season ends, there will be at least three other bona fide heroes that can protect and even save the city. And that's going to mean something to Oliver as well. I mean, and that's about as much as I can tease about it. But there will be Starling City will not be hurting for heroes by the end.
No, you've given us a lot. And so, you know, outside of Arrow, latest projects. Am I correct that the film Accidental Love is now in theaters and on video on demand?
Oh, my God. Yes, it is. We did that some years ago.
2008, you shot it. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's one of those things. It's one of those true Hollywood stories. It went through a whole lot of iterations and directors and money and blah, blah, blah. And so now, yeah, it's coming out.
Okay. It's out there, video on demand. Go check it out. Theaters. It's in the theaters. What else can we look forward to seeing you in?
Well, there's another show. It's a different demographic than Arrow, but there's another show I do called Blue Bloods. It's a Friday night show on CBS with Tom Selleck and Donnie Wahlberg.
With Magnum P.I.,
that's a little cop story. Yeah, I can't believe that. Magnum P.I. still doing it, still rocking the mustache. We get to shoot that in Brooklyn. Another true Hollywood story. There, Greg Berlanti, who saw me, who's a showrunner, creator of this show, saw me on that show originally and asked me about John Diggle. They weren't ready over there at Blue Bloods to make me a regular. So he said, asked me if I wanted to do this. I said, yes. Who knew it was going to blow up, be as successful as it was, Arrow? But he always said, hey, listen, you can still do Blue Bloods if you want. I love you on the show. People love you on the show. Do it. So I'm lucky enough to do two shows.
Okay, so we got an open door on Blue Bloods. You can come in and out as the mayor?
I can come in and out as of now, but we keep saying that. We'd knock on wood again. My goodness, who knows?
Check that back page of that script. Now,
exactly. Right, exactly. Well, the mayor was shot on Blue Bloods. I'm in a wheelchair now. My days may be numbered. Who knows? My God.
You're still hanging on. You're still on page 36.
Barely hanging on, man. Hanging on to the wheelchair.
Oh. Well, we're not dead yet. It's a Monty Python skit at this point. All right. Upcoming appearances. Are you on social media? How can fans find out what's the latest and greatest in the world of David Ramsey?
Well, I'm David Paul Ramsey Instagram, David_Ramsey Twitter, and I'm always posting, and there'll be some conventions coming up, some signing conventions. It might be in a town near you, so, you know, you will see me hanging around the Arrow universe, and some conventions are coming up. Chicago, I think, is happening. Italy, France, I think Boston might be happening soon, so I might be in a town near you.
Oh, Columbus, Ohio, please. That would be fantastic.
You know, I love Columbus, Ohio. I'm originally from Detroit. I spent a lot of time in Ohio, but don't even talk to me about Ohio State. Don't even mention.
I'm not originally from Ohio, so I'm a Steelers fan from Pennsylvania. So everyone here is like, "You a Buckeye fan?" I'm like, "Sure, why not?" So I have no vested interest in them. So, but I do know there's a rivalry. Okay. I'm smart enough to know that. I've been here long enough to know. Yes.
But I love Ohio. I do love Ohio. I spend a lot of time down there. We should always go to a place called Cedar Point in Kingsworld down there in Sandusky, Ohio.
Yeah, well,
so
Ohio loves him some David Ramsey. So if you're here, yeah, let's grab a beer at some point. So that'd be fantastic. So, and we've got Twitter out there. My goodness, David, Arrow is definitely one of the must see shows here in the Lair. I'm glad we got an original character we can appreciate on the show. And an incredible actor to bring him to life. I can't wait to see what's coming up in the next few episodes. Thank you so much for joining me on Comic Book Central today.
Comic Book Central has been good to me. I appreciate the questions. And you guys take care. You guys have a lot of fun.
Now, that is one revealing interview. Check it out. We got the Green Lantern question answered. Found out that Diggle wants Oliver and Felicity to get together. And we now know who would win in a fight between Diggle and Arrow. Fanboy fight question! It was answered. But you know what? Something tells me that Stephen Amell probably has a different answer to that question. I'm just saying. So, and you know what? He's always welcome by the Lair to discuss it. Open invitation to Stephen Amell to stop by the Lair if he wants to challenge that assertion. All right, big thanks to David Ramsey for sharing some time with us today and giving us a very cool preview of what is to come on Arrow. To find out more about David, check out David Paul Ramsey on Instagram and at David_Ramsey on Twitter. Check it out. He might be appearing at a city near you. You can find out there. To find out more about Comic Book Central and to check out each and every episode, there are a bunch of them, folks. They're great interviews. I love them. Check them out. Head to the website, comicbookcentral.net. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can leave a review while you're there. That is always appreciated. Be sure to check out Comic Book Central on Facebook, facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork. Don't forget the network. Share the Lair and follow Comic Book Central on Twitter at comicbookctrl. And as always, if you want to talk about the show, comic books, your favorite comic book movies, your favorite comic book TV shows, is it Arrow, Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, that's another one. Tell me who you think Felicity should end up with. I want to hear about it. Drop me a line, joe@comicbookcentral.net, or you can click the Signal Me tab on the website at comicbookcentral.net. Matt Truex did just that. Apologies if I messed your last name up there, Matt. Matt wrote in about my recent series of interviews celebrating the show Birds of Prey. He says, "Hi, Joe. The Birds of Prey fly again. I'm a huge fan of Birds of Prey and have been waving the flag for the series since it aired. I collect production memorabilia and props from the show. I own the original light-up Batarang Barbara and Dinah use. I blogged about the series, and I had my own podcast exclusively about the series for a short time last year. It was BrokenWingsPodcast.com. Now, doing it alone with no contacts to the cast or creators, my guest dried up quickly, so the show only lasted a few episodes. Which is why I can say what you've done is a miracle. Your three interviews were phenomenal, and it was such a pleasure to listen to. Please let me know if you ever decide to talk Birds of Prey again, as I've become somewhat of an expert on the subject of what happened and what went wrong there.
Really hope one day to be able to put together a comprehensive special features catalog to make up for the fact that there was nothing like that on the home video release. I also have collections of PDFs featuring early script sides used in casting. A lot of them feature scenes and characters that were completely retooled, so they're pretty enlightening. Again, thanks for a great listen and keep up the great interviews. Well, thank you, Matt, and thanks for writing in. Appreciate the kind words. That was very nice. And sorry to hear about the podcast that it didn't last longer. But you never know. With the resurgence of comic book movies and TV shows, we've talked about this. Everything's a comic book movie and TV show today. I say it's high time to bring the interest in Birds of Prey back. We've got a few cool episodes of Comic Book Central out there. Hopefully we can check out your podcast if there's a return. Maybe we can see some of those images you mentioned, too. Maybe start a Facebook page or Twitter. If you do, if that happens, be sure to let me know so we can get the word out to the Comic Book Central listeners. I'm going to put a link up to Matt's site in the show notes, so be sure to check it out. And long live Birds of Prey. All right, folks, as I mentioned last week, and I teased at the top of today's show and mentioned on Twitter and Facebook, so those people already know it, a major announcement here on Comic Book Central. I said there might be a Star Trek-themed / Leonard Nimoy tribute episode coming up, and indeed, there shall be, I can confirm, because next week on Comic Book Central, I will be welcoming to the lair a true legendary talent, actor, author, musician, producer, director. My goodness, this guy, he took out a gremlin at 20,000 feet. He rode the hood of a car like no other actor could. He, along with a crew of the USS Enterprise, have been boldly going where no one has gone before for nearly half a century. Folks, it's the captain of the Enterprise, the one, the only. William Shatner is going to be here next week in the lair to talk Trek, Tech War, his many roles, his latest book, which is very cool, and the life and legacy of the late, great Leonard Nimoy. Folks, do I really have to say this is an episode you don't want to miss? I didn't think so. Share the lair. Get on social network, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything. # share the lair. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell strangers. Run out into the streets. Shatner is going to be here next week. Take care, my friends. May all your arrows fly straight. Keep reading those comics. And thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 Unported License. All of the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
Oliver's back.
By the way, I gave Oliver like a half hour head start.
Hi, Barry.
Hey, Felicity. How you doing, Dick?
You're fast.
Did you guys not tell him about me?
Well, seeing is believing. Or drooling.